The Town Like Clarence, written by Stella Quinn and read by Fiona MacLeod. 10 minutes later, Kirsty was on the road again. This time, she followed the banks of the Clarence River as it looped past dilapidated wharfs on the reach near a pretty old pub. She passed more Victorian and Art Deco buildings wedged between modern, glass-fronted shops. But the town of Clarence soon gave way to countryside. Cows and horses dozed in the shade of whip-thin eucalypts and peeling weatherboard cottages, and the hilly terrain was dotted with neat rows of crops. She crossed a narrow timber strip bridge and saw a faded white cross tucked beside a road subject to flooding sign. Macadamia trees, hundreds of them, grew in neat rows up the nearby hill, and black irrigation pipes hung below their lower branches. The turn she needed was here, somewhere. She slowed to a crawl and looked at her phone screen, glad for the river, which was as good a geographical marker as any highway. Yes, there it was. She traced a finger along the burgundy line that marked the road, and one of those déjà vu memories tiptoed over the nape of her neck. Hopefully, she wouldn't need a getaway route. True, no one had invited her to go snooping over the old Blewett farm, but the satellite map showed a square, grey structure that had to be a shed, and she only wanted to see what it looked like, see if it was big enough to have once housed a plane. A rocky scree clung to the hillside above the white cross, and if she was reading this map right, and of course she was a freaking outback pilot, wasn't she? The shed was up this narrow track on the far side of the bridge, but that wasn't all the satellite map was showing her. Further along the road was another turnoff that must be the main driveway to the farm. The urge to have a look-see at what her dead father's home looked like was too strong to ignore, so she gave the accelerator a nudge with her boot and drove the ute forward. She was not prepared for her first sight of the old Blewett homestead. Once she'd rounded a corner, she'd looked up to see the gentle green hills of the Northern River's countryside framing a patch of paddock and house as perfect as any paddock and house could be. "Oh, wow," she breathed, pulling onto the gravel beside an old milk can letterbox that had been decorated all over in childish flowers. To the right of iron-red wheel ruts carved into the grass, she could just glimpse a front garden, agapanthus growing green and lush along a low veranda, a frangipani bare of leaves, the stubble of fresh-cut grass under the wire fence. The veranda posts leaned a little drunkenly, and rust had turned parts of the tin roof into lace. A cattle grid marked the start of a driveway, but she had no cause to go up there. Not yet. Not if the old shed was long gone and she could save herself the embarrassment of an awkward conversation. "You think what is in my shed?" Yeah, she could just imagine the laugh some old cow cocky would have to share with his mates at the bar. "This crazy Sheila." She stretched her hand out the driver's side window and touched the barbed wire strung between two old hardwood posts. The wire looked older than she was, old enough to have known Trevor, the father who died before she was born, old enough to know Terry, even, back when she was raining havoc down on the unsuspecting locals of Clarence. There'd be a story there. Probably not a good one, she thought with an indulgent smile.